RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, and highlights of the week. Also, news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesia Wonder and Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our weekly segment, Listener's Mailbag segment. Listener, that was our program for today, and this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia should serve as source of Islamic thoughts. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla deplores Tanjung Balai riot. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said, now is the time for Indonesia to serve as the source of Islamic thoughts and studies for the rest of the world. The President stated in his speech at the opening of the 26th National Quran Recital Contest, MTQ, at the Islamic Center of Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara, Saturday evening. The president added that Indonesia should serve as an Islamic study center for the world because it is home to Islam Wasyatiyah or moderate Islam. Other countries, he recalled, are still looking for an ideal Islamic format. Therefore, he added, he had issued a presidential regulation to establish an international Islamic university. President Joko Widodo also hoped that the MTQ would instill tranquility in the heart of the people, making them as tranquil as the heart of the Quranic reciters or readers. After delivering his speech, the president beat balai drum, traditional drum of Sasak people in West Nusa Tenggara, as a sign of the opening of the competition. After beating the drum, the president and the audience watched a performance of 26 black drummers. Officials who accompanied the president in the event were Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin and West Nusa Tenggara Governor Zainul Majdi. The event was also attended by 30 ambassadors from friendly countries, especially from the Middle East countries, the governors and regents and mayors from various provinces in the country. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has deplored the Friday evening violence related to ethnicity, religion, race, and intergroup of community in Tanjung Balai, North Sumatra. After inaugurating North Sumatra's new Indonesian Red Cross BMI headquarters in Medan on Saturday, the Vice President said all parties should have exercised self-restraint and surrendered completely to the riot to the police and local authorities to resolve it. The Vice President then called on all parties to stay calm, exercise self-restraint, because all the problem, if resolved in cool-headed manner, it will not be protracted. In the meantime, State Intelligence Agency Bin Chief Sutioso said in Prapat that he was sure the riot in Tanjung Balai would not spread to other regions. Asked after opening the Batak Indigenous People Congress and the National Working Meeting of Punguan Simbolon Dahot Boruna in Prapat, the State Intelligence Agency Bin Chief reiterated that the riot would not spread because it had been brought under control. The National Police have reiterated a guarantee that investors would refrain from accessing prospective taxpayers' information after a slow start to the government's tax amnesty program. National Police Chief General Tito Kanavian said He instructed officers not to use tax amnesty information to launch investigations against taxpayers. Tito explained that the police need to assist and ease the way for the tax officers and taxpayers in their effort to declare or repatriate assets, and the police also need to maintain a safe investment environment so that it is convenient for taxpayers to invest in Indonesia. While the tax amnesty law does not grant immunity for crimes other than tax dodging, it forbids the state from using tax information as initial proof for launching criminal investigations. The law also does not allow law enforcers to obtain the tax record of any particular taxpayer except with the taxpayer's consent. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, who was reappointed in the post on Wednesday, said law enforcers need to have a common understanding that any disruption of the government's tax amnesty program could pose a risk to the country and to an economic recovery. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. 10 bodies of 15 victims of a ship sinking in Batu Layar Beach, Johor Bahru, Malaysia on Saturday, July 23, 2016, have been identified. Of the 10 bodies identified, 9 bodies have been taken by the family. Counsel of the Indonesian Consulate General in Johor Bahru, Taufik Kurijal, said the Malaysian authorities are still searching other victims in the coastal waters of the Northeast Peninsula, Malaysia. The Indonesian Consulate General has sent a team of Indonesian citizen protection to the location and meet the immigration authorities and the police. Taufik Kurijal admitted it was difficult to identify the bodies of the victims this time, and it requires an active role from the families to report their family members who had not yet arrived to Indonesia. It is very difficult indeed. We identified them, but it seems that it's helpful. Even I have a photograph that is most likely to be one of the bodies, but it's a bit difficult if we have not been able to find the fingerprints sent from Indonesia. It requires the active role of the families to give us information. For example, their family member has not returned home even though they have received information that he would come home from Johor to Batam. Taufik Kurijal added that currently there are about 14 other passengers in the search process by the SAR team. Of the 34 people rescued, 10 are from Nusa Tenggara, 9 from East Java, 4 from Aceh, 4 from North Sumatra, 3 from East Nusa Tenggara, 2 from Banten, 1 from Jambi, and 1 from West Sumatra. The last item. Indonesia expects to start national gas production from 2 deep water fields this year and next, even as major oil companies are reviewing the economics for other projects, a senior energy official said late on Thursday, July 28th. Wirat Majapuja, the Director General of Oil and Gas at Indonesia's Energy Ministry, told that the Bangka project, majority owned by Chevron, will start operation in August. He added that Italian oil firm Eni's Jangkrik project is 80% complete and is expected to commence operation in July 2017. Both projects are located in Kutai Basin offshore East Kalimantan Province, where several projects are being planned under the name of the Indonesia Deep Water Development. 2 other IDD projects, Chevron's Gendalo Gahem and Eni's Merakes, have been put on hold after oil and gas prices fell. Puja explained that the Indonesian government is in talks with the companies on providing more incentives to raise the internal rate of return for the deep water projects to at least 25%, up from 10 to 15% currently. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says Indonesia should serve as source of Islamic thoughts. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala deplores Tanjung Balai riot. That was the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news from across Indonesia, which presents a variety of interesting information from the country in a week. The first news comes from Poso, Central Sulawesi. The Indonesian military last Monday distributed 100 notebooks with red and white till the end. The books were distributed to elementary students in Kasinguncu village, coast of Poso, which is one of the regions in Tinombala operations. Handing over the books was the commander of regional military, Captain Inventory Jayadi, and some of members also quizzed the students about the issue of defending the country and national vision. According to the military commander, the book distributing is a form of education to defend the country and cultivating the love for the homeland from an early age to counter ideologies and cultural influences as opposed to the culture of Indonesia, especially in the area of Poso, which can break the unity and integrity of the nation. It is part of the military's territorial operation, which also includes building hygiene facilities and repairing places of worship, sports facilities, as well as non-physical targets such as agriculture counseling, mental health, and civil defense trainings. The next news comes from Batam Riau Islands. Government of Batam Riau Islands on Tuesday applied light criminal sanctions to two students spotted by the team from the Department of Hygiene disposing rubbish indiscriminately. Head of Public Relations of Batam Administration, Ardi Winata, said both residents were caught red-handed throwing garbage out in two different places. Both could face fines. Until July 26, 14 people have been subjected to misdemeanor, with fines vary depending on the judge's ruling between 100,000 rupiahs to 1 million rupiahs. Based on the record of the Sanitation Department, fines collected reaches more than 9 million from 12 trials. The latest news comes from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta City Government launched Ready to Overcome Violence Task Force in order to solve and as an early detection of violence against children and women, which is community-based. Head of the Women's Community Development Office Yogyakarta, Okto Nur Arafat, on the sidelines of the National Children's Day commemoration in Yogyakarta on Thursday, said the task force comprised of community leaders, women, religious leaders, and youth in the region. According to him, the task force already desperately needed by the people because the number of violence against children in the city of Yogyakarta is likely to increase. Types of violence experienced by children varied from physical and psychological violences until neglect. Okto Nur hoped the presence of the task force is able to support Yogyakarta as the city fits for children. That was news from Indonesia.
Today in History.
a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with July the 31st, 1963. Manila Accord is signed. Manila Accord was signed by the Federation of Malaysia, the Republic of Indonesia, and Republic of the Philippines on July 31, 1963. This agreement was a follow-up of a meeting held from June 7 to 11, 1963 in Manila. The agreement includes an agreement of the three countries with the wishes of the people of Sabah and Sarawak, which is a state in Malaysia, to self-determination and would hold an election that is free and without coercion. Over now to 1988, 32 people are killed and 1,674 injured when a bridge at the Sultan Abdul Halim Ferry Terminal collapses in Butterworth, Penang, Malaysia. The Sultan Abdul Halim Ferry Terminal Bridge collapse was a disaster of the Penang Ferry service, which occurred on July 31, 1988 at the Sultan Abdul Halim Ferry Terminal in Butterworth, Penang, Malaysia. The collapse caused the death of 32 people and injured 1,634 others. It was blamed on overcrowding and the jetty being made out of steel bars that led to the collapse. The cause was extreme crowding at the Sultan Abdul Halim Ferry Terminal of about 10,000 people. There were two simultaneous festivities involving the Chinese ethnic group, namely the Kuan Yin Goddess Festival in Georgetown and the St. Anne's Church Anniversary in Bukit Matarjam, Penang. There was a call for Buddhist devotees from the Chinese ethnic group to attend the event because it was held only once every 60 years, according to the Chinese calendar, or a once-in-lifetime occasion. And this festivity was believed to bring prosperity because Kuan Yin means goddess of generosity. Tourists from Singapore, Hong Kong, and Taiwan also came at that time. St. Anne's Church in Bukit Matarjam, however, was also holding a large festival for its anniversary. Many Christian ethnic Chinese worshiped at the church on Sunday morning and proceeded to Penang in the afternoon to visit and observe the Buddhist ceremony. The last is from 1991. The United States and Soviet Union both signed the START 1 Strategic Arm Reduction Treaty, the first to reduce with verification both countries' stockpiles. START, or Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, was a bilateral treaty between the United States of America and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, USSR, on the reduction and limitation of strategic offensive arms. The treaty was signed on July 31, 1991 and entered into force on December 5, 1994. The treaty barred its signatories from deploying more than 6,000 nuclear warheads, a top total of 1,600 intercontinental ballistic missiles, or ICBMs, and bombers. START negotiated the largest and most complex arms control treaty in history, and its final implementation in late 2001 resulted in the removal of about 80% of all strategic nuclear weapons then in existence. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with highlights of this week entitled Rebuked by the United Nations, Indonesia Still Executes the Death Penalty. The United Nations criticized the executions of death row convicts in Indonesia and requested execution moratorium. Chairman of the United Nations Human Rights Council, Zaid Raad Al Hussein, in Geneva on Wednesday asked Indonesia to reimpose a moratorium on the death penalty. He added that the UN is very concerned with the lack of transparency of the process in accordance with fair trial guarantees, including the right to appeal. Related to that, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs stressed that the implementation of the death penalty in Indonesia is a right and not contrary to the international law. Foreign Ministry spokesman Armananta Nasir in Jakarta on Thursday said that first, the death penalty is carried out According to the rule of law, he asserted the Indonesian government will continue to apply the death penalty and execution in the case of drug-related crimes, especially for drug dealers and traffickers. It relates to the situation in Indonesia, which have already become a target market of drug sales. Approximately 40 to 50 people die each day due to drug abuse, and approximately 4.1 million citizens of Indonesians are affected by drug abuse, and among them, many teenagers have become victims. Cases of drug abuse in Indonesia are estimated to result in sizable losses to the state, about 63 trillion rupiah every year. Armanata Nasir also confirmed that the death penalty is seen as a part of the positive law in Indonesia and is not contrary to the principle in the 1945 Constitution. In addition, the death penalty is applied only as a final step to crack the case of extraordinary crimes, including drug crime cases and terrorism. Vice Chairman of the House of Representatives Fadli Zon says the United Nations must respect the rule of law in Indonesia, including the Indonesian government's decision to implement the death penalty phase 3. Fadli Zon in Jakarta on Thursday said Indonesia's law still recognizes death penalty. Therefore, the United Nations must respect the laws of Indonesia. He affirmed that Indonesian laws still allow the death penalty, except they are amended. In addition to Indonesia, some developed countries still apply the death penalty. Fadli Zon asked the government to implement the death penalty immediately because it is a court decision that should be implemented. The same thing is said by member of Commission 3 Arsul Sani. He considered the UN request to Indonesia to stop the death penalty is a matter of course. It is exercised to developing countries only, he said. If the case happens to the United Nations, for instance, the UN would just be silent. The UN, he assesses, has been applying double standards in dealing with the death penalty. So Indonesia does not need to be tied against such demand. According to him, Indonesia is a sovereign state that has its own legal system and not alone in the world in terms of the execution of the death penalty. Meanwhile, Deputy Attorney General for General Crimes Nur Rahmat on Friday said four people had been executed in Tunggal Panaluan shooting range Nusa Kambangan, Central Jawa on Friday. They are Freddy Budiman from Indonesia, Osmani Sek of Senegal, Humphrey Eyeke of Nigeria, and Michael Titus from Nigeria. He explained, Freddy Budiman's body was brought to Surabaya, Humphreys was cremated in Banyumas while the other two were returned to Nigeria. According to Nur Rahmat, more convicts await further news. He added that until Friday, it wasn't known whether they are seeking a pardon or not. Well, that was highlight of the week.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said, now is the time for Indonesia to serve as the source of Islamic thoughts and studies for the rest of the world. The president stated in his speech at the opening of 26th National Quran Recital Contest at the Islamic Center of Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara, Saturday evening. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has deplored the Friday evening violence related to ethnicity, religion, race, and intergroup of community in Tanjung Balai, North Sumatra. After inaugurating North Sumatra's new Indonesian Red Cross PMI headquarters in Medan Saturday, the Vice President said all parties should have exercised self-restraint and surrendered completely to the riot to the police and local authorities to resolve it. The National Police have reiterated a guarantee that investigators would refrain from accessing prospective taxpayers' information after a slow start to the government's tax amnesty program. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian said he instructed officers not to use tax amnesty information to launch investigations against taxpayers. 10 bodies of 15 victims of a ship sinking in Batu Layar Beach, Johor Bahru, Malaysia on Saturday, July 23, 2016, have been identified. Of the 10 bodies identified, 9 bodies have been taken by the family. Counsel of the Indonesian Consulate General in Johor Bahru, Taufik Rijal, said The Malaysian authorities are still searching other victims in the coastal waters of the northeast peninsular Malaysia. Indonesia expects to start natural gas production from two deep water fields this year and next, even as major oil companies are reviewing the economics for other projects, a senior energy official said late on Thursday. Wirat Majapuja, the Director General of Oil and Gas at Indonesia's Energy Ministry, told that the Bangka project, majority owned by Chevron, will start operation in August. Listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Listener, you still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz and audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Indonesia Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service with Indonesian Wonder, a regular item which introduces Indonesian tourism, including art and culture, places of interest, and also culinary. Today, I'll take you to Pulau Pisang, or translated into English, Banana Island in Lampung Province. Pulau Pisang or Banana Island is located on the west coast of Lampung and is a relatively new tourist spot. The distance from Bandar Lampung, the capital of Lampung Province, to Pulau Pisang is about 250 kilometers or approximately 5 hours drive. The natural conditions are fairly exotic. On the other side, directly facing the Indian Ocean, the size of the island is approximately 200 hectares. Therefore, not too many people know about the beauty and life that exists in this island. To reach Pulau Pisang, you can rent a car from Bandar Lampung then head it to Tebakak Beach. From here, you can rent a boat to continue your trip to Pulau Pisang. The time required from Tebakak Beach to the island is about 15 minutes only. You can leave your car in a nearby village. If you arrive at Krui in the evening, you should rest first here because to cross to Pulau Pisang, transportation use only until 2 p.m. Arriving on the island of Bananas or Pulau Pisang, you will see houses on stilts. In the morning, you can stroll around the pier where you will see children who are fishing. Tourists visiting the island can do many kinds of activities such as playing on the beach, surfing, sunbathing, fishing, and taking pictures, of course. By walking through 8 villages spread across the island, you will see a very beautiful view, in addition to the friendliness of the people, which will make you want to linger on the island. Pulau Pisang or Pisang Island has a fine white sandy beach and the sea is very beautiful. Travelers who want to forget the time for a moment can stay there. If you are from Jakarta, you can go by land to the city of Krui, which will take about 15 hours. You can also use an aircraft from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta to Krui. It takes just about 1 hour. Then from Krui, followed by motor boat to Pisang Island, which also takes about 1 hour. Pisang or Banana Island indeed deserves to be featured in Lampung tourism because the waves on the beach is relatively high at about 5 to 7 meters. Even in certain months, the high waves can reach 12 meters. That's what foreign tourists ogled, because they generally come in the morning and spend the time to surf or swim. Usually they will only return to the inn at Krui in the afternoon. If you are tired after swimming and surfing, you can rent a boat called Jukung or Cantamarans by paying 300,000 rupiahs to see the dolphins. This is because the islands located in the Indian Ocean and has become a nesting place for the cute and adorable mammal. To see the dolphins, tourists have to go in the morning, around 7 to 10 in the morning. With a bar of iron, fishermen would be banging on the ship's stern. Then, without having to wait too long, come the dolphins jumping beautifully. It was a mesmerizing sight. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Pulau Pisang or Banana Island in Lampung Province.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing Ambon City in the Maluku Islands or the Moluccas preparing to become World Music City. Stay tuned. People in Ambon, Maluku Province are known to be good at singing. Not surprisingly, a number of well-known Indonesian singers come from Ambon, like Bruri Marantika, Harvey Maleholo, Ruth Sahanaya, Glenn Fredly, and many others. Ambon is currently preparing and improving itself to be a city of world music. To that end, the Agency of Creative Economy Indonesia will launch Ambon as the World Music City by UNESCO standard on October the 28th this year. Deputy Facilitation of Intellectual Property Rights Creative Economy Agency Indonesia, Ariyu Juliano Gema, said along with the ministry and related agencies are ready to help facilitate Ambon City to become a city of world music through various policies such as budget and supporting infrastructure. Ari Juliano recently said the launching of Ambon into the World Music City will be on October the 28th, 2016. At the same event, there will be a musical creativity week by Ambonese musicians. According to him, there are 7 requirements of the Board of Education and Culture of the United Nations or UNESCO that must be met by the city of Ambon to make it the city of world music. Among others, supporting infrastructures in the form of training of human resources, art shows building, studio recordings, and music schools. The agency tries to achieve the specific requirements of UNESCO so that later can provide economic benefits to the community. Ari Juliano stated, "Today, Ambon City has not had a music school, but he is optimistic in the near future it will have a music school which can produce good musicians. So he will help the government of Ambon realizing it." According to Ari, it was the Ministry of Education and Culture and the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Learning which will become the main sectors to realize the initial conditions set by the UNESCO to be studied. Other efforts is helping the curriculum and preparing human resources for public music schools, both informal as well as non-formal schools. Ari added he is working on a roadmap together with Ambon City Administration and other related components for preparing the requirements set by the UNESCO. It requires quite considerable time. Some cities in Indonesia which have embodied the creative economy with UNESCO standards, such as Bandung as city of design, Pekalongan as a city of craft, which needed 2 to 3 years. Ari added to realize Ambon to become UNESCO standard music city requires commitments of all parties, the government and the people of Ambon. Efforts to create Ambon as music city started some time ago. Head of Tourism and Culture of Ambon, Henry Sopakua, stated that the slogan of Ambon City of Music is a revival of the musicians in the city of Ambon. Henry said since proclaimed as a city of music, various attempts have been made to not let it just be an empty slogan, but a movement that spurred the musicians to create works of art, to realize the work that can be appreciated to the fullest. To achieve this goal, he has held a monthly music festival as a means of channeling the interests and talents of Ambonese musically, not only to the extent that it also provides space for the musicians through a program of the City Corner Harmony. Well, that was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta featuring Ambon City preparing to become World Music City.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception report on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Dr. Afinas Chikot, PhD, in the United Arab Emirates. He listened to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz on May the 5th, 2016 and April 19th, 2016 at 13 to 1330 UTC. In his email, he also asked to send him our QSL card and some used postage stamps from Indonesia, Southeast Asia. Hello, Dr. Avinash Tikot. It has been a long time we have not received your email. How are you today? Thank you for always monitoring our radio. But we are really sorry because we cannot send you used postage stamps. Our listeners always send their letters through emails, so we do not have used postage stamps. And for QSL card, we have sent you several times ago. I think if you give us correct address, our QSL card certainly has come to your home. But if you have not received the QSL card yet, please send your current address correctly. Well, Dr. Avinash Tikot, we are waiting for your next email and reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. Before we read another email, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners, wherever you are. Enjoy the song. Listener, now we will reply an email from Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. He has sent his email through VOI Facebook fan page. In his email, he said that VOI feedback and reception report at 300 hours to 350 hours Pakistan local time, the live streaming is excellent through his mobile. He was listening to Music Corner from VOI English, and earlier he listened to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia program. Today he has learned Terima Kasih in Indonesian. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are glad to know that you can listen to our broadcast through your mobile smartphone clearly. Yes, you are correct. Terima kasih is the right word to say thank you. I believe if you learn Indonesian every day, certainly you can speak Indonesian fluently. As information, we present a segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, every Monday until Wednesday. So you can learn our national language word by word through this segment. Well, Mr. Kalab Abbas, wherever you are, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report. Okay, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Yeah. sayang. Papa tidak menangis. Mari kita dengarkan apa ini. Papamu sudah tidak sayang lagi sama kita.
Still listening to listener Spellback broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Bidan Chandra Tikader in Bangladesh. In his email, Mr. Bidan Chandra Tikader asked to send him our program guide and other documents. Hello, Mr. Bidan Chandra Tikader. Thank you for your email dated July 13, 2016. And Mr. Bidan Chandra Tikader, we suggest you to visit our website www.voi.co.id. Through our website, you can find out our program in all language broadcast by VOI, so you can choose the language program you want to hear. Well, Mr. Bidan Chandra Tikader, we are waiting for your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Listeners who are listening to our radio, now we'll play a beautiful song special for you. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. We also thank you for your participation in VOI International Quiz 2016. Listener, we appreciate your reception report on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com. I'll repeat, voi.english@gmail.com. Or to english@voi.co.id. english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.